Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, now that the Blue Jays, BT, have the Dodgers on the brink of elimination, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking last night while watching that game. You know what? This makes the Yankees look a little bit stronger here. I don't know Yankee
stronger.
Fans.
Wow.
I think it does make them look stronger. Yeah, when you Savage goes out there and does what he did to the Yankees, he does it to the Dodgers, maybe even at a higher level. Seven innings like that on the road in the freaking World Series. I do think it changes a little bit of the perspective on the Yankees for me. And then when you see the way that they handle the Dodgers, instead of saying, well, the Yankees fell short again and they lost a little bit early and bounced before the ALCS, You maybe look at it and say, you know what? I mean, maybe just Toronto was the best team in baseball and the Yankees were good to the level that they had the same record as them in the regular season, but not good enough to beat who turns out to be the best team in baseball.
They're so different than the Yankees. And where they're different, they're just better. And that shows up in October. Well, they had 37 foul balls the other night. You know, when the Yankees, it's funny, when you come off the dynasty, right, just to kind of connect some dots here. So win the 2000 Subway Series, obviously. 2001, you're looking at the Diamondbacks, broken base hit. 03, Marlins, young pitching staff. Those losses, to me, were stunning. They were absolutely stunning. And then as you got a little deeper into the mid-2000s, whether it's the Tigers with Torrey, when Alex Rodriguez was dropped to the bottom of the lineup, and then, you know, eventually you move into whether it's the Astros, the wild card game with Keuchel, and obviously the different iteration of the Astros, and, of course, the Dodgers last year, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's, to me, I look at the Toronto Blue Jays, and that's how I want the Yankees to be built. I really do. So I don't process it necessarily like the Yankees look better, the Yankees look worse. I just look at it as it's no longer an outlier, Sal. It's no longer like, oh, wow, what the heck happened? Yankees didn't win the World Series. Wow, what a freaky, wacky occurrence. The Yankees didn't get to, and the Yankees won't win the World Series because they're still not built the right way like Toronto is.
Right, but think about it. If they were to beat Toronto, I know it's a big if, but there was a lot of thought going into the series. I certainly thought the Yankees were going to beat the Blue Jays. I know you felt good about the Yankees beating the Blue Jays. I didn't think the Blue Jays were going to be the biggest threat. Turns out that they might be the biggest threat. And who's to say that if the Yankees couldn't figure out their way past Toronto, or if they can't close the gap with Toronto, who, by the way, they had 94 wins. So do the Blue Jays. Big Bay Blue Jays had 94 wins. I know they do it differently. I know that everybody's in awe of the way that they do it. That's fine. But it's not like the Yankees and Blue Jays were so far apart the way that we thought they were from the Dodgers a year ago. And now we're seeing the Blue Jays, who went from worst to first and are on the brink of winning the World Series by beating the big, bad, unbeatable freaking L.A. Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani, oh my God, how are they ever going to beat the Dodgers? They just beat them 2 in a row in their ballpark. One, they need one, and maybe the best home field advantage in the sport right now.
Yeah, it's popping in that place, man. It's fun to see.
Now, I'm not saying I like the way the Yankees are built at all, because I don't. However, they did win 94 games, and they did lose to the team that seems like they're going to be the best team in baseball, and a team that certainly has handled it at the very least, even if they lose these next two, they took the Dodgers to the brink, which is something the Yankees didn't do. So I actually do think you can make an argument that it makes them look stronger.
But think about how they won the 94 games, which, and not that we're watching Toronto every night during the regular season, but obviously we are now. Obviously we did against the Yankees in the playoffs here. Like the Yankees, and this is the same routine, which is why I'm fairly desensitized, although the night that they get eliminated, whatever that is, it bothers me, and then it kind of quickly fades because my expectations have changed, which is why I'm imploring Hal, you got to do something different this offseason, which is a different discussion. I don't want to throw 9,000 things on the table here. But I look at the Yankees winning the same amount of games as Toronto, and we all know the answer. Well, how did you do that? You bludgeoned average pitching. You hit a ton of home runs.
Right.
Now, I do think that the Yankees defensively were a little bit better this year. They were better on the bases. But you look at than previous teams. You look at the bottom third. You know, you're talking guys who are hitting 210, 212, strikeout rate 23, 25, ungodly percentages and rates that are just untenable when you're trying to string together rallies in October against really good pitching.
I get
they don't have that.
No, I get it, BT, but let's not make it like Toronto's just, you know, putting the ball in play all over the place, finding holes, getting little bloops. Like they're hitting.
No, they're banging it too. I get you. They're banging it as well.
George Springer doesn't hit that big home run in Game 7. We may be looking at a Mariners sweep, getting swept by the Dodgers potentially. Like you don't know. So Vladimir Guerrero's been hitting home runs left and right this postseason. So maybe their stars are performing better than the way the Yankees stars did. The pitching. I mean, your Savage is better than anything the Yankees were doing in the postseason, even with all the money the Yankees have spent. Like
man, he's been amazing.
So I do think it's a little bit deeper than just and I'm with you. Like, I'd rather build a team with balance. I've been saying that for years at the Yankees. Like, it's the same thing. All or nothing. Home runs, strikeouts, too many up and down the order. Where, yeah, everybody could hit 20, 25 home runs, but they also could strike out in a big spot. So I would like more balance. However, I don't believe that the Blue Jays are that much better than the Yankees. And I believe that they played a 7-game series. It might have been different. Now, Toronto's owned them all year long, so I'm not saying that the Yankees would have lost, but I don't think the disparity is as great as I did think it was from the Dodgers last year to where the Yankees were a year
ago. Now, remember, I was a little worried about Toronto the whole year. Like, I never once said, oh, yeah, the Yankees are going to win the division because they're the Yankees. Like, I never dismissed Toronto. Now, I didn't think that they were quite this good. I didn't know about you, Savage. I mean, there's just certain things you didn't know. Variables like the Yankees did. Like, nobody knew about Schlittler at the start of the season unless you're really a prospect guy or a gal.
I was more with C-Mac, like, calling them frauds. C-Mac was calling them frauds.
Yeah.
I didn't call them. I just didn't believe in them.
Nobody did. I mean, listen, I'm not waving the flag saying Toronto's, an absolute powerhouse team here. But they just, they looked a little different than previous Toronto teams. Yeah. I knew they were better than the Red Sox and the Rays, obviously, and the Orioles are a mess. So I thought that would be the Yankees. Chief competition. The thing, though, when you look at the Yankees' flaws here, and we all know what they are, and even if they would have advanced, Rodon even pitching in the World Series?
Yeah.
He had surgery the next day. So there's other things that I can incorporate here, but the most worrisome thing for the Yankees for me, and I just don't think that this plays well enough to win a championship series and then eventually a World Series. Who's the leadoff hitter? Still don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Still
have
no leadoff hitter.
It's ridiculous.
Still don't.
Well, was DJ LeMahieu going in the year again?
God,
like,
I know.
No, but that just shows you how ridiculous it is.
Well, like, that's
again,
what
going into this year was supposed to be LeMahieu. Like,
I know. Absolute lunacy. And then the other thing, too, is how many times if the Yankees had a day game and you and I get the lineups and we throw them out on the air, which obviously is sponsored, we talk about the lineup, or you and I did, and we did this for the Yanks and Mets at toward the end of the year, constructing lineups. We did this a lot, right? How many times were like, well, maybe put this guy behind Judge, or no, maybe this guy behind Judge, more contact. Well, this guy's faster. They still don't have definitive, absolute protection for Judge. So until you get a legit leadoff man, I'm hoping it's the offseason, it's going to happen now. And whomever it is, whether it's a Tucker or if Bellinger's back or whatever, they just got to clean up some things. I'm not saying that they're without talent. Of course, the Yankees have a lot of talent. And to get Gerrit Cole next year, and the Yankees could, with a few tweaks and a few bold moves, they absolutely could get to and win the World Series. But this group, I'm not surprised, and I don't feel better by Toronto looking as good as they do against the Dodgers.
It's never good, especially when you're the Yankees, but really anybody. It pertains to the Mets as well, but we're talking about the Yankees here. It's never good when you could even just say, well, they were better than us. Nobody should be better than the New York Yankees. However, for me, not that I'm taking solace in this, but I thought that they were, like, even going into this year, they could win the American League. They're not going to be able to beat the Dodgers or beat the Phillies. Who knows about the Brewers? And that has changed to me where I firmly believe it's a lot easier for the Yankees to close the gap from where the Blue Jays are to where they are currently than it would have been had the Dodgers went out there and won another World Series. And by the way, they still could, but just not looking as dominant, even with all the moves that they had made in this past offseason. BT and Sal on the fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire. Remind you, to Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Josh is calling from Long Beach, starting us off. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Josh.
What's up? You guys drive me crazy sometimes. I love you to death, by the way. But constructive criticism, the Yankees were so close to the Toronto Blue Jays without Cole. Like, you forget to mention that Cole, like, that'd be like having Patrick Mahomes get hurt, and you're like, well, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, we just didn't have it this year. No, they lost their big guy, you know what I mean? They lost two of their starting five pitchers. At the very end of the year, what's the name, went out with a bum elbow. Like you can't get that.
Hurt.
So if I'm Hal, I'm not as stressed as you guys are.
Yeah, but hold on, Josh.
Mean?
Josh,
you listening to what we just said, Josh?
You bring up the pitching, man. See, my biggest gripe, how about the bottom third of the order that strikes out twice a night? You know, each hitter.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Mets fan, so I get it. But I'm just saying.
I mean, you said you guys, BT and I, are saying two different things. I'm saying that the gap, I think, is easier to close with the Blue Jays. And you're saying you would relax with that. Like, you're actually agreeing with some of what I said. And by the way, I wouldn't say the way that you did about, well, Gerrit Cole, he's not Patrick Mahomes, okay?
Not anymore.
Yeah, good God. And that one pitcher is not as important as Mahomes is. Mahomes is arguably the greatest player the sport has ever seen.
Well, and
he plays the most important position.
Yeah, and they had Gerrit Cole against the Red Sox in the wild card years ago, and he got absolutely rocked. I love Gerrit Cole. Now, next year is going to be very exciting, but you know, there's fatal flaws. I mean, I think it's very easy to identify what they are. Now, the way you started this, like, do I feel a little bit better because Toronto looks the way they do against Now, specific to Toronto, I don't. Semantics a little bit.
With the Dodgers.
Maybe specific to the broader spectrum. Maybe there's a vulnerability with the Dodgers that I didn't really think was there yet. You know what I mean? So maybe if I want to kind of latch on to that. But, you know, that's kind of, you know, waving the magic wand. The Yankees need to be, they got to be on point this offseason.
Right. You'd rather the Yankees be better than everybody else. And that's obviously the case. I mean, the Dodgers didn't even have a great regular season. And they ended up with 93 wins winning that division. But it was not 93 wins for the Dodgers. I mean, people were saying they're going to win 121 games.
They were banged up. They got healthy at the right. A lot of their pitch. We know this Blake Snell, all these guys.
Their bullpen stunk. I mean, all the money that they spent on the bullpen, it's still not very good.
Betts didn't have a great year. Remember that? He was awful for most of it.
Understood. No, Ohtani didn't pitch the whole year. I mean, even now, Ohtani in the postseason hasn't been as great as everybody makes it seem. Like, he's been all-world Babe Ruthian for three games.
You're true.
The and other invisible. 12 now. And,
yeah, well, remember, he was like, I think he was 1-for-30 at one point during 0-2 for something like crazy. He was at like 0-50.
Yeah, we did a thing yesterday on Baseball Night in New York on SNY. In the other 11 games outside of the three dominant games, he had like one homer and he was hitting .139. And then last night, he's another 0-for-4. So you do the math. Out of 15 games, three great. Oh my God, he's the best thing ever. And then 12, not good. Meaning, like, if he were in New York, we'd be like, ripping him. If you could pull Aaron Judge off a 60-plus home run, 62 home run season, you see, and you knock him in the postseason, and we question that. Ohtani, if he had an awful 12 games in the postseason out of 15, I think he'd be getting ridiculed as well.
He would, but the difference is I've always got a championship. So imagine, like, if Aaron, you know, I know you know that, but imagine if Aaron had a championship and then he had a Dave Winfield-like 81 World Series performance, hit .110, whatever Dave did back in the day. That's number one. And number two, I know the Dodger fans care. I know that they're locked in when it matters and all that stuff, but I can't imagine they're calling up whatever station is the main station out there in L.A., And they're talking shop like we do here. I just don't think they know this is a real generalization. I don't think they know baseball the way we do. I don't think that they care about baseball the way we do. And I just think they're motivated by other things because there's some nice diversions. Yeah.
Entertainment.
Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, exactly right. Joe is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
So my whole question to this is not so much, but everyone's talking Ohtani, but yet this guy Vlad Jr. is having the best postseason ever, pretty much. He has 8 home runs in 16 games. I think he struck out less times than he has home runs. And on top of it, you still want to hear, and everyone still wants to talk about Ohtani.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know why. And people are talking about Vlad, and you could call and talk about him, Joe. Even in your
what they should do is, but why don't they talk about Otani with the gambling?
Okay, Joe.
Well, nobody cares about that. Come on, Joe.
Here's a guy, BT. Joe's calling to try to highlight Vladdy, and he referenced Otani 15 times in his 5 seconds on the
air. There you go. Well, you're the problem, Joe.
Yeah, call and talk about Vladdy, and then we would talk about Vladdy. You talked to, we were watching the play last, was it yesterday or whatever, during the break.
The pick, the throw to third.
Yeah, his defensive play. It's we obviously saw what he did against the Yankees. We've watched. Vlad has been a guy on the mission. I wanted Vlad to be
I thought
he was going to be the Mets first baseman. This is a year ago. I'm saying, forget Pete.
Yeah.
Go get Vlad. And then he signs that mega deal. Now, I didn't think he was worth it, but if they win the World Series this year, who cares what the rest of the contract looks like?
I didn't think he was worth it either. You see, he's a very interesting player to analyze. What he's doing now is all time, but I knew he was really good. Everybody knows that, right? But was he was he all time great? The answer is no.
He was inconsistent a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you look at some of his years, again, stats are what they are, but just follow me for a sec. Just batting average. I know it's an old stat. 272, 262, 311, 274, 264, 323, 292. Some really good seasons. And by the way, the on-base percentage is good, though there's been fluctuations there. The OPS has been a couple of times where it's been spiked amongst league leaders, but his all-time OPS is 860, which is good, but it's not like Judge or Bonds. Or, exactly. So, and I always thought he was a little out of shape and he wasn't a great athlete. How would he age? What he has done the last month or so has been phenomenal.
And he's been a leader. Like, there's something you could see with the Blue Jays. They're a close-knit group.
They are. I'm envious in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
They're scrappy.
Of course. And they're built the right way, meaning not just that, they could put the bat on the ball. Yes, they do that. But they also have the stars like Vlad, like Springer. They also have the stars in place. And then you get they've gotten the perfect combination. A guy comes up from the minors when you Savage that's dominating. Like, those are the things that you need. The mojo at home, that home crowd. Now, look, they still could lose these next two games. I would be stunned if they lost both of these games.
Me too. They're going to be champions.
You would think so because of that home field advantage. Joey Clams is calling from Brooklyn on the first segment of the show. What's up, Joey Clams?
Joey boy.
Forget about it. Cadillac's better than a Lincoln.
That's
How you guys doing?
You better believe
Sally.
It.
Yeah. Sally, after four games, you called the Knick coach a clown. 9 years. This guy Boone is a clown. He's a bozo. He wins regular season games against Puss. Look at the the way the Yankees play. It's terrible. You know what Vladdy said? He goes, I'm a better baseball player all around because of Don Mattingly.
That's all. I didn't see that.
You guys stick up for this guy, boom.
Well, Joe, hold on. I got a question for you. Number one, we both like him and know him, but when it's time to say he made a mistake, like when he went to Cortez and getting the World Series, I crushed him. Let me ask you a question. So you think it's more, we're not going to derail this and get into this for 4 hours, but I need an answer because based on what you said about Boone. So basically what you tell, if I'm hearing this right, is that you think that the Yankees would be champions if they had a different manager. That's pretty much what you're saying, right?
If they had a better manager, absolutely, and a better coaching staff.
That's what you're saying, right? I think you're nuts. Right. I think you're wrong. Totally. I respectfully disagree.
No way. He's terrible.
It's the roster, Joe.
Terrible decision in the playoffs.
Joe, it's the roster, Joe.
He can't manage the game. NJ prospects, bring your daughters down here for softball. Come see.
There you go, Joey Clams. Appreciate it. I'm with you, BT. Now, I'm not going
to. He's perfect. Yeah. He's not Miller Huggins, man. We know that.
100%. I'm not going to absolve Aaron Boone here.
No.
It's a Yankee organizational thing that Boone is a part of that maybe you have an issue with. You can't tell me that if they hired Don Mattingly. First of all, they didn't want Don Mattingly. So get on the Yankee hierarchy. It's not Boone's fault. It's the Yankee hierarchy that hired this regime, the front office, the way that they do it, the DON, Department of Nerds, what do we call it?
You.
Yeah, the DON. The DON. The call made it, right, then I made it. Department of Nerds, like, that's what they want. They didn't want Donnie Baseball. But that's not Boone's fault.
No. You know what's nuts too? Like, when the hitting coach, obviously, we all remember that. When there was a thought that Mattingly, and there was certainly a movement for Donnie to become the manager, I didn't want him to get the job.
Because you know if it went wrong, you'd have to.
I can't do it to my guy. I mean, I would have to, but I don't want to be put in that spot. But
maybe you wouldn't have been put in that spot.
That's true. Maybe you would have won if they would have had a better roster. Back to the original point.
I do know this. Donnie spent all those years with the Yankees. He leaves. They win World Series. now he finally might get it without being a Yankee.
Yeah, that was a strange world, buddy. I mean, it sucks.
A World Series champion. I mean, think with about the Toronto
that. It's crazy. And even to make it more painful, the 94 season, I haven't watched the Expos thing yet. I know you have, but
you're going to be disappointed.
I know you told me. I was going to watch it the other night. I got wrapped up with some stuff, but I'm going to this weekend at some point. The Expos were the best team in the NL. The Yankees were cooking in the American League. They may have gotten to the World Series that year. Then they lose in horrific fashion in 95. Mm. And then the guy that replaces Don Mattingly goes on to crush a gazillion home runs in the World Series and become a multi-time champion in Tino, who I love, just not Donnie.
That's cruel. And you hope that Mattingly, all these years later, even though it's not the same, not doing it as a player, still, you get that World Series ring, he's earned that with all his time as a great player, as a coach, as a manager, all the time he's put in the game. I don't care if you get it as a player or not, BT. If you win the World Series, you always have that ring. You'll always be a part of a World Series winning team.
So I agree.
I hope Mattingly does get it.
So do I. You know that. All right, Sal. BT and Sal on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number. We'll get to the car. Hey, Dexter Lawrence responded. We'll get to that a little later. Big Dex. Carl. In the headlines for the first time since us.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
We're talking World Series and really what it means for the Yankees. You can throw in the Mets if you want. We'll get into school ball in a little bit too, BT, as there was an update from the Post. John Heyman had it first about the difference between school ball and the Tigers, and it's even worse than thought, so we could get into that a little bit. But you know, as it pertains to the Blue Jays, the way that they've played here so far, I really don't think the Yankees... Now, this could be a scary thought as well, because if I'm thinking this... You know the Yankees are probably thinking this because they're going to be saying, well, look, we won 94 games. We're right there with the Blue Jays. We don't think the gap is that far. And even though some of us, like myself, can think that, I'd rather them not think that they're that close because I want to see them go over the top. And not even just over the top. I want to see them change things up a little bit. And maybe this would be a detriment in that regard because they could look at it and say, well, we tied with them. Mm-hmm. We tied with the world champs. They beat the Dodgers. Maybe next year could be our year with a little bit of luck.
It's time to be painfully honest with each other as they assemble down in Tampa and construct their offseason plan. Yeah, if they're thinking that, like, hey, you know, we're almost there, and, you know, Toronto wins, even if they don't, like, even if the Dodgers come back and win the next two, you could still make the case, and I hope they don't, I'm with you, whoever right there, let's stick to the plan. Yankees, like, there's no overhaul that's necessary, but there is an absolute, I've been saying this for years, there's an absolute tweak in philosophy, it is imperative that they get there. Now, when you have the same people in the room, I don't think that that's a good setup for change. I mean, what, suddenly Brian Cashman, after doing this for 30 years, is going to start thinking very differently about this?
Right.
I mean, Omar Minaya and Sabian, I believe Sabian's, I know Omar is, I think Sabian's still there. They were hired a couple of years ago. What's their contribution? Have they done anything? I'm not saying that they haven't, but...
No, I mean,
whatever it is, it's not changing the way the Yankees do business.
Well, because what if they're there and they're voicing their opinion and maybe it's not being heard the way that...
Possibly. That was my fear. I remember saying when they brought them in, I'm like, okay, hey, Omar's good with the minors. He knows how to identify, draft players, and develop players. And I always liked Omar as a talent evaluator, going back to the Mets here. But if they don't give him the runway, you know, to expand, firstly, to present those thoughts and then expand on them, and then people are actually open to listening to them, and then eventually implementing on some level, then what the hell is he on the payroll for?
Correct. Like, look at the team. Can you feel the Sabian / Omar Minaya effect? I don't. I'm not saying that they don't have any say, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know. I worked with Omar for a little while over at SNL. I know what he likes. I know he does like power, as well, he believes in that, but there's also got to be a little balance in there as well. So I'm not so sure that, and again, I don't know their exact role or what moves they would have wanted to make. All I know is this. It's been the same thing for a very long time with the same guy heading the entire operation.
Yeah.
And for people that think that Boone's the problem, for example, if they had fired Boone because of the public backlash, they'd hire somebody just like him. Even worse, probably, because he's not going to have the experience or the cachet maybe that Boone had, being the player and, you know, family that he had, all that lineage.
And really, the ability to diffuse issues when they come up, which I think is one of Aaron's greatest strengths. I've said this for years here. You know, you might be able to get a better strategist, although I think that Aaron's good in that regard. Although a lot of things are dictated by numbers, and, you know, the game's a little different, certainly, than when Billy Martin was in the dugout, and, like, you know, smoking a heater in the in the locker room. You're like, all right, I'm going to go to this guy today. I'm going to bring a goose in the seventh to face George Brett rather than the ninth, or whatever. But I do think that there's a little runway here, and I'm afraid that it's not going to happen because we have not yet heard from Hal. And there's a little swerve here, but it is now almost November.
Yeah.
The Yankees have not been playing baseball for a couple of weeks. They are out of the World Series and dumped from the Championship Series, and another year since 2009 with no championship. And I remember saying the day after when we, or a couple of days after when we carried the Boone and the Cashman press conference, I'm yelling like a lunatic. I'm barking at the moon saying, where's Hal? I mean, can I hear from Hal?
Right.
Even if it's a quote. And I don't need Hal, and I've said this a lot about Hal, I don't expect, because it's not realistic, he's not going to suddenly become George. I don't need that. But I did think that this was a year when he needed to communicate effectively and clearly to the fan base something, and I haven't heard a peep.
Yeah, it's amazing that we could get Sidney Sweeney on, but we're not able to track down Hal Steinbrenner. You would think that maybe one would be easier than the other. You know, also just on the news of the manager, we'll get back to the calls here in a second, 888-808-1019. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The Nationals, who's the guy the Orioles hired the other day to be their manager?
Oh, God, I'm forgetting.
Rami, you know his name? Dove, you know his name? And me, like, none of us know because we've never heard of the guy before. And go ahead, Rami, give us the guy. Who the Orioles hire?
Craig Albernaz.
Right. I still don't know who that is. You know how old he is? Does it have how old he is up there? Craig Albernaz was hired by the Orioles. There's a point to this. Just bear with me here.
Yeah.
You could find his age there. Craig Albernaz. Oh, yeah. And then you hear like, oh, yeah, he's revered. He's revered by, okay,
he
yeah.
He turned 43 yesterday.
Okay, 43.
Okay.
The Nationals are finalizing, this is according to Jeff Passan, the Nationals are finalizing a deal to hire Blake Butera as a manager. Is this Sal Butera's son?
I was just going to say, hey, a little baseball card. I remember Sal Butera.
Well, I love Sal Butera because as a kid, it was like the only Sal out there. Sal Butera, catcher with the Expos, if I'm not mistaken.
Catcher, for sure. Maybe the
Cincinnati,
Brewers for a minute, too.
Yeah.
They bounced around a little
anyway,
bit.
Anyway, so Blake Butera, and I don't know if there's a relation or not. The Nationals finalizing a deal to hire Blake Butera as a manager, sources tell ESPN. Butera, 33, will be the youngest manager in baseball in more than 50 years. Four seasons as a minor league manager in the Rays organization. His team was 258 and 144. Point is, they're hiring guys to be managers that we never heard of before that are in their 30s. Who are these guys? Giants, same thing. Like
I like what the Giants did today.
He was
very
guy.
Bold. He was a Tennessee. He was a college baseball coach. Yeah, for sure. That's Tony Vitello.
Yeah, okay.
That was a very interesting one to me. Now, I don't know if it's going to work out, but, you know, to hand over the reins at Tennessee's basically like a pro program with NILs and the, you know, playing
that conference. But...
I know. It's a different world. You're not playing 162 games in the SEC, but I thought that that was interesting. And I'm not going to say the other guys, you know, Butera, the other dude, whatever, just because they're young or we don't know them, that they can't be very good. I wouldn't say that at all. But what it does do, it signals maybe a bit of a shift in, all right, we're going to get younger and we're going to get guys that we can actually control more. That's a signal.
Right. The days of getting a manager in there to clean these things up, like, at least it still happens in the NFL, even with going in the direction of younger coaches and guys with inexperience, you know, whatever it may be. Still in the NFL, you have the guys that come in and they run. The head coaches are running the show. I know it's a collaborative effort, obviously, but they're the ones who are really running the show. In baseball, it's not. It's the front offices that are running the show. So even if Yankee fans, some of them, got their wish with moving on from Boone, who do you think they're going to hire? Unless they blow up the whole thing, which is what a lot of people want, mm-hmm. for change, it's not going
to
be any
different. Real quick, Sal, to your point, think about the baseball versus football.
Yeah.
Or the baseball model, I meant to say, right? So, now Cashman's been here for 30 years, so obviously his name is always weaved into these conversations. Bigger picture, right?
Yeah.
But outside of referencing Joe Shane because, you know, the job status,
yeah.
we don't reference Muji. You don't think about Muji. I did a little pod, you know, I brought him up on the pod yesterday, but you're not thinking about Darren Muji, who, by the way, has done some really good things. If you want to check it out on Killable Pod, you know, all that stuff, find it. It's on my social media stuff. I did it yesterday. Tribute to Nick Mangold. I think you guys will enjoy that. But we don't talk about Muji because he's uninvolved in the season from the day-to-day operation. But when we talk about the Yankees and the Mets, it's always like, well, you know, Stearns is playing. It worked the first year with the pitchers, you know, 50 cent discount racket. It didn't work this year. And Cashman, all these guys can't run and they strike out. And Stanton's still here. It is very different. You're right. It's totally different. Football, it's the head coach who's got the juice. We know that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Another 0-4 Ohtani last night, 0-for-4 BTs. I'm sure he needed the IVs from, you know, two nights ago playing. The biggest misnomer with Ohtani is that everybody keeps saying he played 18 innings. Mm-hmm. I just want to fact check everybody. He did not play 18 innings. He DH'd 18 innings. He was intentionally walked, you know, three times, walked four times. Like, I'm not trying to. No, it was a great night. It was a historic night. He got on base nine times. Let's not make
nine
it like.
Times, dude.
Yeah, on base nine times.
Yeah.
He didn't play 18 innings of a game. You have to at least admit that.
Yeah, dude. No, I'm not going to give you that. Are you nuts?
From the eighth inning on, he only walked to first base. That's all he did.
All right, fantastic. Anybody else do that in the history of the game? No, the answer is no.
I'm not saying,
I know you're not saying it's not historic.
Right, I'm not minimizing his accomplishment. I'm just saying that he didn't play 18 innings. Like, it wasn't like he was standing on his feet. He was sitting on his rear end 95% of the game.
You're going to keep going back to this well, Art. You know I don't feel well today. Don't pull me back into this Ohtani stuff, please.
No, it's not even that. I don't want to argue. I'm just giving the facts. If I want to argue, we'd bring up maybe the Vogelback Babe Ruth thing. And then Ohtani did go 0-for-4. So.
Or the Mike Clown stuff we can get
Mike
into.
Clown. And by the way, a lot of people were talking about that. Like, I saw some of the comments or even people were texting me about it. Like, oh, after four games? No, it's not after four games. I didn't like the hiring to begin with. We were on the record saying that. I hated it. When his name came up in the process, hiring process, I said no.
Mm-hmm.
I want no part of it. Vehemently against Mike Brown. I was open to some of the younger guys, the unknown guys, whatever. I wanted no part of Mike Brown. So it's not just reacting to four games. It was more, I didn't want him to begin with, and I don't think he's a clown.
We did a lot of Knicks stuff yesterday. Yeah. If you guys missed it, free Odyssey app or YouTube, WFN YouTube. And it was about, listen, I think that they're eventually going to look a lot more structured than they've looked certainly the last two games. And I obviously like Mike Brown much more than my partner does. I think that's pretty obvious to detect. And he's not perfect. He was not my first choice. He was not my second choice. I think that the Knicks, and we, one thing that we could all agree on here, guys, we knew because everybody said this, whether you love Towns or love Brown or don't or whatever, we all knew it is championship or at least finals appearance or bust. And when that is the bar, you can't tell me four games in is too early. We're going to react to the Knicks differently with a different energy, I think, that more than we have maybe since the 90s. If you really think about it, like they are supposed to be dominant.
Which I think is a great thing.
Yeah.
It's great to have those expectations.
Sure.
The tough part is living up to those expectations. Now, I don't remember because I wasn't doing the same thing. And then, you know, I was a fan, a 15-year-old fan, so perspective is different 30 years later, especially when you're on the air. It's a different way you handle different things. But I don't recall ever as a fan feeling disappointed throughout the course of a regular season. Frustrating losses, of course. Like, sometimes I remember losing to the Bucks, and I'm like, good God, and that was the Bucks when they were, you know, they weren't any good. Vin Baker, Bucks, whatever it may
be. Michael Redd, that team, or is that?
No, I think it was even before
Cassell?
That.
I
remember Vin Baker one night coming in the Garden and lighting them up, and I was like, what the hell?
Vinny Baker from Connecticut, Hartford,
I think. Andres, you know, on the call with Marv. Anyway, point is, I used to wear the losses. They hurt, but I don't ever remember feeling disappointed with the way the Knicks performed, assuming health, throughout the course of a regular season. Whereas this year, even last year, I think a little bit, there was disappointment last year, certainly after the year before.
Oh my God,
you were disappointed more. So I was like, okay, it's a learning curve.
Mm.
And now we're kind of in another learning curve, but the expectations are even higher.
Yeah, and the one thing, and again, I'm trying to remember my mindset back then as well, like going into these Knicks seasons, you know, 91, 92, 90, obviously building in 91, and then obviously hitting the crescendo of the finals in 94 and losing, but the one thing about that team, and also with Tom Thibodeau for the most part, to be fair, and Mike Brown's going to have to avoid this, and he hasn't done it quite yet. Pat Riley's teams, I'm not going to say never because that's not accurately reflecting history. I'm sure they had a few, but Pat Riley's teams almost never lost to teams they were supposed to beat.
Bingo. And that's why I loved Riley and I love Van Gundy. Those teams either maxed out. They overachieved most times.
I think sometimes they did overachieve.
Or so it's either overachieving or just maxing out. Like, you tip your cap to the Rockets, but we came close, but ultimately, Olajuwon was better, just didn't have enough, whatever it may be.
Or Jordan.
Michael, exactly. That's not the case. It wasn't the case with Tibbs. And I thought it was 2 years ago they maxed out.
When they lost to the Heat, you're talking about? Or
no.
when OG ripped up his hamstring and against Pacers?
That one.
Yeah, the Pacers one. Yeah.
They maxed out.
Yep.
Mainly because of being ravaged by injury.
Everybody was banged up.
Last year was the first year to me that I could make an argument, even with the Pacers are great. Sure, Knicks, they should have beaten the Pacers. Like, I still believe that in my heart that they were the better team than the Pacers. And we'll see what happens this year.
Well, and the other thing, just to wrap this up, the other thing too is, you know, behind closed doors, I mean, nobody blatantly said, hey, it was Kat who basically said, you know, I want Tom Thibodeau gone. I think we could all deduce that it was Karl Anthony Towns and to maybe a lesser extent, Mikal Bridges.
Yep, yep.
So if that's the case and you got your way, you better look a lot better and a lot more locked in and a lot more motivated than Cat has so far.
And I do think Bridges looks better.
He
so
does.
Far
and I actually thought he would benefit the most. I said that to you.
Yeah.
I thought Brown, I think he's going to lead the team in minutes. I think Knicks fans will be happy with Bridges. It's Cat. That's who I think worries most of us.
Let's get back to some phone calls here, BT. John is in Wantagh. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. What's up, man?
Johnny Boone. Turkey boys. What's up, John?
Hey, listen. Why does, as a guy who's 54, why do the Yankee fans still get me upset over things? So you brought up BT. Oh, it's going to be nice for Mattingly to get a ring with the Blue Jays. Listen. Let's calm down with Don Mattingly already. This is about the Blue Jays. This isn't about the Yankees.
No, for me, it's about Mattingly. You're getting a little personal out here, John. Good.
It was last year with Soto, the same thing we had to deal with. Oh, he's not doing his dance in the box. He looks better in the Yankee uniform. Can the Yankees just give it up? Can the fans give it up?
No.
Can they?
You can.
Why not?
Because
why does everything got to be about them? I don't understand.
Because everybody's different,
Yankee
man.
Yankee fans talk about, oh, we had 94 wins, so we only got
John, and thank you for the call. We appreciate checking in.
Jeez,
I do think you got to give it up.
Yeah.
Here's why it's about the Yankees today. This is New York. This is not Toronto. So we're tying what's going on in the sports world, the World Series, into New York. Like, do I got to spell it out for you? And the Yankees lost to the Blue Jays in their division. They had the same amount of wins. They're the ones who lost to them in the divisional round. That's why we're talking about. That's why it's about the Yankees and Mattingly's the storyline here in New York. It is.
Yep.
Otherwise, who cares about the stupid World Series?
Yeah. And as for Mattingly, now I know this is obviously subjective, but if you're of the age of Arles Calder or me. I think if you're anything above 30, like early 30s, you could make the case that Don Mattingly's the most revered New York athlete of my lifetime, even without the championship. I know Messier's different coming here with the guarantee, but he wasn't a lifelong Ranger. And so I put him in a different category. Patrick got knocked around, maybe a little bit unfairly, but he got hit in the court of public opinion. Doc and Darryl were awesome, but they jumped around, had issues, wound up going to the Yankees with a championship. I mean, Jalen Brunson, maybe he's getting there. Judge is maybe on the same. I feel like Mattingly, Lawrence Taylor was amazing, but I just feel like Mattingly's got a very unique, the most unique connection to New York sports fans than anybody in my lifetime.
John, being that you're a Met fan, right, maybe the comp, and I'm not saying that this player is the exact same as Mattingly was in the 80s, but imagine if David Wright came back into baseball and was coaching wherever else,
mm-hmm.
Toronto. And was going to win a World Series. You wouldn't, as a Met fan, feel good for the guy who gave everything he had to you and was the leader and captain, got his career cut short because of back trouble, could have been a Hall of Famer if not. Like, there are, again, I'm not saying Wright was at the level of Mattingly because I don't believe that he was.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some similarities there that there's a love affair with a player. In this case, I'm using Wright as an example, that if he were to go somewhere else, you'd like to see him have some success. Even if it is with a team that you hate, that knock you out, it would feel nice to see Mattingly eventually finally get that World Series.
No question. You see, listen, there's certain athletes that we watch and we are in awe, like Aaron Judge, right? And Lawrence Taylor and some of the other icons of the city. Then there's certain athletes that we watch, we're in awe, and they are just incredibly high-character people, and that's where Lawrence Taylor is no longer on the list, and Aaron Judge remains, and a few others. I think the uniqueness of Mattingly and David Wright, and I'm with you, in inserting him. I love David Wright.
I'm
a massive fan of David Wright. I love him. All-time favorite Met, really, outside of Darryl and Doc. That's how much I respect number five. But I think there's something to be said when an athlete breaks down, like Mattingly and David Wright did, and they still try to will themselves. And the fans feel that. Because at the end of the day, while Donnie's trying to get back for his family and for his team, and David Wright was trying to get back for his family and his legacy and his team, we almost feel in some weird way that they're trying to will their way back for us. And so it's a next level emotional connection that is almost impossible to replicate, even if you're better than Mattingly and Wright. And there are athletes who have been better than Mattingly and Wright.
And think about it this way. In about 10 years from now, maybe... maybe Yankee fans will be rooting for Aaron Judge to get his first World Series ring as the Mets hitting coach, let's say. He and Soto could team up again. Soto will still be here in 10 years. I don't know how many World Series rings he'll have by then, but maybe Judge will go to the Mets hitting coach It could be Judge and Soto. Wouldn't that be a great story?
It would be, but I think a better story would be maybe we put Aaron, if Aaron Judge wants to go to Queens for some reason, then Aaron Judge maybe could coach first base since you guys, like a bunch of dopes, are apparently getting rid of the best first base in baseball, coach in baseball. So if Aaron Judge went to first base to sabotage the Mets' future, that would be a good story,
Sal. Come on,
Sal.
You wouldn't root for Judge to get that first ring?
As a Met?
What's up, Blue Jay, Met? What's the difference?
You know the difference.
BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.